Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second.
Hey, everybody. We are about to get to this week's show. But first, TrueCar is one of the sponsors making it possible for me to bring you this show for free each week. And they give us some useful car tips that you might not be aware of. For example, did you know a coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean your interior, or that removing excess weight from your car will improve gas mileage, and that you could place your key fob right on your chin to increase its range? Well, here's another tip you also might not know about. TrueCar also helps people get used cars. That is correct. TrueCar isn't just for buying new cars. With their certified dealer network, a nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you will enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and also a simpler buying process, whether you buy new or used. And with TrueCar, users can see what other people paid so they know if they're getting a good deal before buying. They're also way more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers. So when you are ready to buy a new or a used car, check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com presentation.
Welcome to Good Day Chicago for the first time. I'm Anthony Ponce.
I'm so glad to have you here.
We're glad
to have you here. And I'm Natalie Bomke. Mike Kaplan is in the Weather Center. What kind of weather do you have to greet Anthony on his first day?
We're bringing him a fairly mild day.
Good. We'll get temperatures
up. That clip was me this past Wednesday making my debut on Fox 32 News here in Chicago, where they just hired me to co-anchor the morning news and also officially bring this podcast to Chicago television. So now I've kind of got this triple role going. I'm a podcaster, a news anchor, and a Lyft driver as well. So I'm going to be anchoring the news and also doing a Backseat Rider TV segment. And so if you followed the show for a while, you know that I've been a newscaster before. So this is going to be my second stint into mainstream media. And this time, my goal is to bring back with me everything that I've learned so far through the whole Backseat Rider experience. The experience of doing way deeper interviews with hundreds of real people that I've been just randomly paired with through the Lyft app. So in keeping with that and with the mission of Backseat Rider, my thought starter this week with passengers was this. What do real people, everyday news consumers, want me to know as I foray back into local news territory?
To be a journalist, to be fair, not biased.
Myself, when I wake up, I don't want to hear breaking news. Somebody got shot over on Grand and Hubbard or stabbed in the neck.
While my question today is definitely self-serving, it turns into a thoughtful discussion about the troubled state of the news industry.
Oh, what is Stormy Daniels doing? Like, who cares? There's so much more pressing topics. What about, like, let's talk about gun laws instead.
The decision-making by news producers.
They do it because they want to liven things up. But there's gotta be a way to do fun news that's still news.
A lot of times I feel like most topics are sensationalized.
And what real people think needs to change for local news in its current form to stay relevant.
I'm gonna be honest, I don't watch the news, not anymore.
Hello everybody, and welcome to this 71st edition of Backseat Rider, podcast where I drive Lyft and whoever ends up in the backseat of my car becomes the cast of this show. And to kick things off, it's kind of astounding the sheer number of passengers with variations on this recurring theme.
It is hard to watch just because it's always just bad, 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 bad. Just the violence and everything going wrong in the world is being portrayed.
It's not somehow I want to start my day off.
You'd rather hear a positive story?
A positive thing, first thing. in the morning.
There's always bad news. Every day.
This woman works for an agency that helps underserved communities and seniors with things like housing and paying their utility bills. And a few years ago, she stopped watching the news altogether.
I mean, there's always bad news. And I don't like bad news.
Yeah, what?
Well, I'm going to say why.
Yeah.
Because two of my son's friends, they passed away. They died. That's why I don't like news, you know. They were in the news. One of them got shot. He was 22, and then the other one was overdosed, and then he passed away. So they were like my kids, because they were living with me, but they were having problems with their parents. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like my home was a shelter, you know.
Yeah.
And I couldn't help them. I couldn't save them. So that's what happened.
One of her son's friends that she took in was named Ricky.
The Ricky was walking down by Ketzie and Elston, and he was drinking and he was doing drugs, and it was late, and there was a van that passed by, and he was throwing gang signs. You know, he was a gang member.
Ricky was.
Uh-huh. But he did the opposite gang, so he threw the opposite signs to the opposite gang, so the guy went around and shot him in the back, and then he just died right there instantly.
In the drive-by?
Yes.
Why did he throw up the opposite gang?
He didn't know. He didn't know who it was, because he was too high and drunk, so he didn't know. He thought it was, because it was his neighbor, he thought it was his gang. He thought it was just, you know, whatever, but the guy got mad. So he went back, and then he shot him because of that. So he has a daughter. She's almost six.
And who's looking after her?
And the grandma.
Uh-huh.
And then the other one, Steven, he was 27. He has a son too.
What happened to Steven?
Steven was homeless. His mother didn't want him because he had, you know, drug issues and stuff. So I took him in. I said, you know, you can come in and live with me, it's fine, you know. Just don't give me any problems. But then I don't know. He moved out, and then he met a girl, and then they had a son and everything, but he went out, and he was still doing, like, you know, having fun and all that. But they took a video of him. It looked like he was throwing up. They took a video, and then they smacked him, and all. They were just playing around, but they didn't know. He was dead already. He was dead. So they left, and then they were looking for him, and they found him in the bathroom. And that's what happened. They didn't know he was dead, so they regretted because they're recording him and everything. But he overdosed.
Did anyone get charged in that case, or was it just
No, actually, no. It was just an accident.
And his friends were taping it?
Yeah, because they thought, you know, he's just, you know, he's drunk.
Yeah.
You know, but they didn't know.
And so did that make the news too, or did just the drive-by shooting make the news?
The drive-by.
Now, loop it back to why those two incidents made you not want to watch the news anymore.
No, because the thing is, like, not only watching the news, but my son called me and gave me the bad news. And he was like, I'm tired of calling you and giving the bad news. I go, don't call me anymore. Because there was one, the first boy that was living with me, that was David Cram. David Cram was, remember the movie, what's his name? It was a famous movie, John Wayne. I'm trying to remember his name. Mm. He was a clown in Chicago.
Okay.
They made a movie.
Oh, John Wayne Gacy.
Yes. So his father was in the movie, but he survived. Remember he killed all those
yeah.
people? He survived. David Cram's father survived.
Okay.
So, I don't know, something happened to him. I don't know if he was traumatized with whatever happened to him, because he almost got killed by the clown.
Mm-hmm.
So later in the days, he committed suicide, you know. And the same thing David did. Oh. David went home and committed suicide, just like his father. Because his mother, he didn't get along with his mom or the boyfriend. And then he wanted to stay with me. I go, well, you can stay here, but I'm not your mom, you know. people, yeah, you're my mom, whatever, but something happened. He was supposed to go to school, but there was no funding, so he came back, and then he was looking for me, and then he just went home. He was so depressed. Depressed because he wanted to go to school. And, I mean, he was going to Lane Tech. What is it, Lane Tech by, what is it, Edison and...
Yeah, and Western.
In Western. He was doing good, but he stopped going to school and stuff like that, but...
And these are all your son's friends?
Yeah. So he went in his garage and locked the door, and he just committed suicide.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
And so is it stories like that that turn you off and make you not want to watch?
Yeah, because, I mean, why would I want to turn on the TV? I got TVs. That's not the problem. It's just that, I don't know. I like good things. I don't like Chicago.
Obviously, she is an extreme example, but speaks to the point of there's no shortage of negativity in people's lives these days. So if the news is too negative, easy to see why you'd want to turn away, right? But the question then becomes, lots of negative stories also happen to be pretty important. And this next passenger speaks on that. She is the intern for the CEO of this major hospital network.
So I just graduated with my MHA degree. It's health administration degree. And hopefully one day I'll be a CEO of my own.
She's 25 years old, and that day needed a ride from a conference back to her hotel.
And I know, like, a lot of my leaders, they're always like, why do you pay attention to the news? It's so negative. And I'm just like, well, I just kind of, like, want to know, like, everything that's going on, you know, just to at least know.
So some of your leaders don't watch the news because it's too negative?
Yeah, yeah. They told me they don't watch the news at all.
How old are they?
I'd say, from what I know, maybe late 50s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Late 50s. All right. So do you agree with them? You said you did used to watch the daily news. Do you agree with that assessment?
I don't, just because I like to know what's going on. Even if it's negative, I still like to know. So, I mean, if someone's, like, let's say if there's, like, a large shooting or something that occurs, I would like to know, even though it may have a negative effect on a lot of people. So, I don't agree with that, which is why I still update myself, yeah.
What makes you want to know? You know, let's say the shooting happens in some other neighborhood that you never go to.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you still want to care about that and still want to know about that?
Well, I think it's still, like, it comes from, like, why I work, like, for healthcare. It's just, like, I care about people. Like, I care about other neighborhoods. I care about other populations. So it's not just, even though it doesn't affect me, I still would like to know what's going on, just because maybe one day I'll have the chance to change it.
So I've heard a lot of people this week, as I've asked this question, kind of say that all the negative crime stuff doesn't sit well with them. And so, like, the shootings and stuff are a reason why they flipped the channel. If that makes sense. Do you feel that way too, or do you feel like that stuff is relevant?
I think it's hyper relevant, right? Like, I mean, like, that's, like, I'm not going to get that from CNN.com, right?
This is a 50-year-old father. His son is just 4 years old, and he lives in a building just north of downtown.
I'm not going to get that from, you know, the HuffPost, right? Like, I'm not going to know that, and the only way I know that there was a shooting, you know, a block and a half from my house, which there was, like, not that long ago, like, is through local news, right? Like, otherwise, I'm just not going to know it.
How did you find out when that happened? Did you get some kind of alert if you don't pay attention to the local
news? I didn't, but that would have... Actually, you know what? That's a great point, right? Like, if I could, like, if I was getting pushes from, you know, maybe a local app of some sort, that might be helpful. I just remember, like, someone mentioned it, and then I went to a local news site, and I can't remember which one, but I was like, holy cow, like, you know, I've got a 4-year-old kid, I'm like, holy shit, like, someone got shot, like, a block and a half from my house, like, this matters, you know what I mean?
Let's see. Do you watch any local news?
I watch Fox and Channel 2, but sometimes, to be honest, when I hear all this stuff about people killing, I turn it off because it's so depressing.
This passenger is an insurance employee. She's 51 years old, and she also works part-time as a bartender at this old-school Chicago dive bar.
What I'm wondering is, like, how should we report those things? Or, like, don't they deserve to be reported?
They do deserve, but not everything breaking news, right? First thing, you know, like, when somebody wakes up at 4:30 in the morning, they don't want to hear that and then get their day. It's important, I understand that, to let people know what's going on. But maybe start off with something to brighten your day, to look forward to it.
Got it. So maybe save those stories for either later in the day or later in the newscast?
Right, not first thing in the morning. Because I know myself, when I wake up, I don't want to hear breaking news. Somebody got shot over on Grand and Hubbard or stabbed in the neck. That's not somehow I want to start my day off.
You'd rather hear a positive story?
A positive thing, first thing in the morning.
That's a good sentiment in theory, way more difficult in practice. News producers, they can do what she says and bury those gruesome crime stories later in the newscast, but obviously depending on people's wake-up times, what's to stop those stories from being the first thing people see when they wake up? The whole situation kind of reminds me of that. I think it's Abraham Lincoln. I think this is a Lincoln quote, that you can please all of the people some of the time, some of the people all of the time, but you can never please all of the people all of the time. So after taking in all of these different perspectives, each one totally valid, kind of left with the following. Unless we're talking about a major crime situation that impacts a lot of people, maybe it's time for producers to stop defaulting to that whole if it bleeds, it leads mindset. You know, in my experience, at least during my first go around in broadcast news, here's what happens. The crime story leads the newscast, not because it's the most important or most relevant thing that happened during that day's news cycle, but because it's the easiest story to lead with, and people are used to that being the lead story. It's almost like this force of habit started by the newscast, but enabled by the viewer. All right, coming up, the other big recurring theme in talking to passengers this week, biased coverage. And this might surprise you, but this week I talked not only with conservatives who are fed up with Fox News.
Just flat out promoting like one candidate over another. And I think Fox did that too.
But also on the flip side, liberals who are fed up with CNN.
I think CNN is just as guilty as Fox.
Where they're trying to pretend that they're, you know, non-biased, but they're really, like, super liberal.
Those perspectives coming up shortly. But before you hit fast forward, a couple of housekeeping things to get to. First, if you haven't signed up for Lyft yet, please be aware of my promo code. Listeners of this podcast can enter in the code Backseat Rider, all one word. It's just the name of this podcast. Enter that in when you sign up for Lyft, and you can get $50 in free ride credit. That info is in the show notes for your convenience. Also, if you want to chime in on this discussion about the state of the news with fellow listeners of the podcast, please join up with us in the Backseat Rider community on Facebook. There's a link to that in the show notes as well. Finally, to a sponsor that is helping make it possible for me to bring you this podcast for free, Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Well, here's another idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. The good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket. It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today.
Hi, everybody. This is Susie Orman, and soon we'll be launching my new podcast, Women in Money. Don't you miss it. On the show, besides having a lot of fun, we're going to answer financial questions from listeners, and maybe, just maybe, we'll even put you on so we can have a chat. Wouldn't you just love to talk to me? So be sure to check out Women in Money on Apple Podcasts, podcast1.com, and the new Podcast One app.
Thank you.
how do your friends get their news? What news do they even care about?
I feel like right now it's a lot of, like, everything's like all or nothing. You're either not involved at all or you're very vocal on social media.
This passenger is 21 years old. She's a student at a local college here in the city. And I'd picked her up from an elementary school on the southwest side where she had just gotten done doing some volunteer work.
It's like the people who are posting are either like posting super liberal or super conservative.
Yeah.
So you don't, and maybe there's a, that's why you don't see, maybe that makes people hesitate from having a conversation about things because you don't want to get labeled as one way or another.
Yeah, it's almost like there's this instinct to label someone on one extreme when a lot of us fall somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Does anyone else feel that way? That in 2018, even though everybody says that they want this unbiased, really balanced coverage, that actually presenting yourself as a moderate is somehow not fashionable. That if you're naturally more moderate, expressing that like on Facebook or social media or even in live conversation, that somehow will alienate you. So real quick, before we get back to her, I subscribe to this magazine called The Week, which I like it because it's organized in a way that presents the nuts and bolts of a story, and then it lists what the right said and then what the left said. And then it gives kind of a sampling of different op-eds after that. Now, it's a magazine. It's not the deepest coverage, and it's definitely not the most timely. It actually just kind of recaps the previous week's stories, so it's not that immediate. But the great thing about it is you get both sides in one place. And so this next passenger, she's a 23-year-old marketing consultant. She turns to the New York Times for a similar approach.
Yeah, the New York Times does that as well in their like daily email, kind of summing things up. They, whatever kind of big topic they pick, they see like, let's see what the right and the left are saying on this. And that's, yeah, it's one of my favorite things to read because I feel like it's not really extremist left people, not extremist right people. And it's just kind of getting like two very valid sides to the story. Not marrying yourself to one theory, but kind of being able to portray the story from different vantage points.
This woman is a 29-year-old psychologist. So on the topic of being able to truly open yourself up to a different point of view, she's way more qualified to comment than most.
Also being open-minded, not necessarily subscribing to something or, you know, in my field we call it being married to your theory.
If we truly look inward, I wonder how many of us, like some of her patients, are married to our own theories. How many of us think that we are opening ourselves up to the other side, but really aren't? Well, the people who are truly able to do this, she describes as whole. Whole spelled with a W, not an H. Whole. And she used this comparison.
In order for a character to feel... whole, they need to have multiple dimensions to them. You know, some of the best characters in movies and theater are characters who are very deep and multidimensional and complicated and complex, and they're characters whom you hate but you love at the same time, and you understand, you know, the background to what it is that they're doing.
Okay, with this kind of open-mindedness in mind, I want to highlight an approach to consuming news that makes a lot of sense to me. Makes so much sense, in fact, that I almost wish it could be a requirement in 2018.
On there, I got CNBC, I've got Fox Business, I've got the Wall Street Journal, I got CBS.
Here's a 58-year-old CEO. Now, politically, he leans right, but he says he makes a concerted effort every day to get his news from multiple sources.
Now I've learned over the years, it took me a while to figure out the biases in each one of these networks. And I can go through it and say, oh, this journalist is totally this side, that side, etc. So I can, you know, you always were taught, you know, who wrote the article. Don't trust the article. Somebody wrote that article, so learn about the article. Research the person. That's so important today in journalism. There's so many news channels.
Yeah. So you have to be more educated as a news consumer. You've got to know your reporters, one from the next, and then you've got to, instead of just have one source, you've got these multiple sources, so they're all coming in.
Right.
And then you're the one who is kind of processing all that info and then coming out with an opinion or a take on your own.
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's not for the average person. It takes years, in my opinion, unless for you to figure that out. I just figured it out in my 50s.
My weekly Lyft rides by no means qualify as a meaningful sample size. Normally, I'm driving fewer than a couple dozen people per week. But here on the podcast, I'm hoping what I lack in sample size, I can kind of make up for with sample depth, going deeper conversationally with everyday people than you may be used to hearing on other shows. And so the last passenger I want to introduce you to this week, I picked him up early in the morning. And he was exhausted because he'd just gotten off an overnight shift where he does manual labor in a warehouse. But he was good-natured when I asked him if he would entertain my question of the week.
For sure. Let's see.
All right.
He's 24. He had a nose ring, tattoos, grew up in this violent neighborhood on the west side of Chicago. And that day, he needed a ride to the North Lawndale neighborhood. He was stopping by a friend's right after his shift at work.
What's the work like?
Harder, the best way I can explain is like harder than you would think it is. Like, I thought it was just like, oh, throw this box in this truck, but then they have like a whole, it's a whole system. It's a workout though. It's fun because like you leave there sweating. So
you basically load boxes on the trucks?
Yeah, basically they'll have a certain number. You get about 3-4 trucks, tells you which truck, which section to put it in.
When he told me about his job, which again is mainly manual labor, I have to confess, I initially doubted whether he was a thoughtful news consumer. Couldn't have been more wrong on that. In fact, he watches news in a way that I hadn't heard of before.
Like that, but when it's on, I try my hardest to not look down at the bottom of the screen to see what broadcast it is. If anything, I just want to listen to it. Because then I'll have like predetermined notions about the news that they're going to try to say. Like, I've listened to Fox before and like agreed with a lot of the things that they were saying. But if I just turned it on and look, I'll be like, oh, Fox News, no way.
But this guy didn't just single out Fox News.
The whole time I'm listening to CNN, I'm just like, oh my God, you're a liberal network. Just be a liberal network. Stop trying to, like, play the moderate role. And I don't know. What would make it better, I feel like, just unbiased news. Like, if you're watching it and they're not, you know, it's not Fox News where they're swaying you in, you know, a certain political or ideological position. And then not like CNN either, where they're trying to pretend that they're, you know, non-biased, but they're really like super liberal. Like every time I turn on the TV and it's a Donald Trump story, I don't want to hear like, oh, Donald Trump is at it again. Donald Trump did this bad. Donald Trump did that bad. It's like, okay, can we just, has he done anything? Like, you know, like. I just want to hear both sides of the story.
It's like, if there's a shooting that happened in your neighborhood or something like that, Twitter. Where do you find that out?
Twitter. Yes. I'll hear things on Twitter, and then literally the next week it'll be on the news. What was the Toys R Us closed recently? I remember waking up, and my uncle was on Facebook. I didn't even see it on my Twitter. He saw it on Facebook, and then he was like, hey, you know, Toys R Us closed and they got $1 action figures, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, for real? And then maybe like 4 or 5 days later, I'm waking up and my grandma is watching the morning news. And then they're just like, new news, here's some new news for your toy lovers or whatever. And I was like, new news? I heard that like 4 days ago.
In addition to more immediacy, like some of my other passengers this week, he would also like to see more positive stories, as long as those positive stories are relevant.
Like, I remember one time I turned on the news and they were talking about, I don't know, some dog that won like a competition or something. It was like, this isn't news. This is just like stuff. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's hard to explain. I'm trying to think of a real...
It wasn't relevant.
Right. Just irrelevant stuff. And I get it. They do it because they want to liven things up. But there's got to be a way to do fun news that's still news.
All right. I want to thank all of my passengers this week for sharing their perspectives. Hoping at least a couple of them are actually listening to this week's show. And this is a topic I would love to hear from you on as well. So please, again, join up with us on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, in the Backseat Rider community group, it is findable by just searching Facebook groups for Backseat Rider. Just request to join and you will be approved. So before I go, one last quick reminder. Lyft is not a sponsor of this show. Doesn't have anything to do with the content. But again, if you haven't signed up for Lyft yet, want to help me out, support the podcast, use the promo code BACKSEATRIDER. That is good for $50 in free ride credit. Backseat Rider is edited by Bob Gilmartin. And also, thank you so much to WTTW and WTTW.com for their support of this podcast. Look for new episodes of Backseat Rider every Wednesday at PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app. And if you have an iPhone, make sure you leave a review and that you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts.